Now let's get back to how automation will change the way we work, and we're joined by Barry Devereaux, Managing Partner of law firm McCann Fitzgerald, and Paula Fearon, who is Head of Project Services at the same firm. Thanks for coming on, guys. And Barry, I'll start with you. How's business, first of all? Because these financial crises can spark a lot of litigation, but they might put people off certain things as well.
Yeah, good morning, Gavin and Jess, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having us on your series. We appreciate that. Our business depends on Irish business sentiment and also international business sentiment, because a lot of our business is international. So when confidence, which underpins that, is affected, then it changes everything. And I think what happened last March was the pandemic hit us so hard so quickly that the confidence evaporated from the system. So business people lost that confidence of transacting business, and a lot of businesses came to a sudden stop. And, you know, it was a very difficult period for the first couple of months. We were firefighting, wondering where this will lead to, how will we come out of this, will we be different? And it was about survival, to be honest. But gradually things picked up, and my sense is I've been 30 years in this business, and I've lived through economic crisis in the UK in the 90s and in the 1990s, late 90s in Singapore, the Asian financial crisis, and obviously 10 years ago we had our own financial crisis. And the lesson I've learned from all of that is that business will eventually prevail. It will find its level. It will step back, and it will suspend activities when things as difficult as the pandemic hit our business. But eventually they'll work their way around it, a bit like we did with Brexit. The initial shock gave way to business confidence coming back into the system. So yeah, things have picked up. And on your very point, Gavin, about litigation, yes, there is more litigation. There are more lawsuits. We're running a lot of court cases virtually at the moment through our technology. And so I'd say business levels are, you know, certainly back, and business confidence is back in the system, which is the critical ingredient in making the world go round.
Yeah, and I think it's often at times like this that technology it kind of becomes more of a pressing issue for firms if they're kind of looking to save cost and things like that. Now, in terms of you guys, Barry, I mean, we've probably been talking about 4 years about this topic of automation in the legal industry. Just explain first, in a broad strategic sense, what is it that automation offers your business?
That's a good question, Gavin. I think automation for us is about efficiency. So it's, you know, our job is to give the very best service to our clients, and that means the best solutions to issues they face in the fastest time and at the least cost. So anything we can do with technology that allows us to get to the answers more quickly, more efficiently, is good for our business, and obviously very good for our clients, where our mantra is we have to add value to our clients' business in order to remain relevant. So automation has been part of our business. And in fact, I might hand over to Paula, because, you know, we were talking yesterday about how long we've been doing this. And Gavin, you and I have been talking about a couple of years about this, but it goes back a long way. And we have some interesting examples for your listeners as to the kind of things that we have brought to bear to the benefit of our clients.
Yeah, Paula, why don't you pick up the point there? Can you just give us some practical examples of the things you offer in this area?
Yeah, sure, Gavin. I suppose to put that discussion into context is probably useful, as Barry says, to sort of outline the evolution of what I'll call legal technology or automation as it's deployed in the legal industry. And I guess McCann Fitzgerald were pioneers in this area, and we have been incorporating legal technology into our service delivery for a long time now, and investing heavily in technology. I may be showing my age when I say that I first used legal technology in the firm in 2002, where we were deploying it in our litigation work. And I think it's worth sort of explaining how legal technology came about so that we can then speak to how we now use it.
Okay.
So I suppose it legal tech has hit the headlines in a big way in the last couple of years, but its evolution has been a slow one. We started using it, as I say, 20 years ago in litigation, specifically in discovery. And I'm not sure if your listeners will be au fait with the concept of discovery, but it is a pre-trial procedure in Irish litigation in which each party to a dispute must hand over to their opponents documents which are relevant to their case. And in litigation involving companies, that traditionally would have meant them printing out or photocopying all the relevant documents that they hold and handing them to their lawyers for
review. Absolute nightmare.
Absolutely. Well, it was an absolute nightmare back in the golden years of hard copy documents. But when we moved to email being the key method of communication, the nightmare became even worse, because printing out vast quantities of emails which corporations were producing would have produced a tsunami of paper for lawyers to get through, and it wasn't possible. So we needed to automate, and we did, using technology. And the first generation of legal technology were really very basic systems that allowed lawyers to review digital copies of documents rather than hard copy. And even that innovation in and of itself allowed lawyers, I mean, it transformed that task of discovery and the cost of discovery. The technology then developed, it became more sophisticated and more use cases became apparent, and that the technology that had its origins in litigation found application across other areas of law, where large volumes of paper were also causing problems, like in big corporate or real estate and finance transactions. And legal tech is no longer confined to software that helps us cope with large volumes of data. It now helps us with things like document automation, compliance monitoring, effective transaction management. It's pervasive across all of the work that we do as a firm.
Let's just pick up on the point about the large volumes of documentation for a second. I think it's got to the point, Paul, of where it can actually help you sort of scan the documents, read them if you like, and sort of flag up, here's something you need to look at.
Exactly, yeah. So AI-assisted review is key to a lawyer's work, particularly where they're operating in the corporate world and in that world of large volumes of documents. So to give you an example, we use a piece of software called Kira. We've been using that since 2016, and we use that to help us review documents and transactions. I give you a good example where we had recently a client who was going to purchase a large shopping center with multiple tenants, very interested in what the lease documents said, and particularly in what the change of control clauses, the rent review periods. We were able to use Kira to review the documents, pull out the information that was contained in those clauses, to very quickly enable us to advise our clients about the intricacies of those clauses. And that output informs real business decisions in the context of a commercial negotiation.
And Paula, what's the difference between using this thing and what it would have been like without it? How much time is saved?
Huge amounts of time, and actually accuracy is also saved, because in those kind of tasks that are capable of being commoditized, the kind of reviewing a document to find a piece of text and pulling that out for a review, that those kind of tasks which would have traditionally been done by junior lawyers, they are done much faster. I mean, by reducing time by 50, 60 plus percent, but the results are more consistent, and that frees up the lawyers to do the work that really adds value for their clients, which is the analysis and interpretation of those results. So it's a win-win for the clients and for the lawyers.
Paula, can I ask a question? My favourite topic in the world is GDPR, right? I could absolutely talk about it until the cows come home. Between GDPR, data protection in general, does this type of technology help in keeping the privacy and the protection element of GDPR and data protection, because a person isn't actually reading through it? Or do the same sort of fear factors apply?
So it's a really good question, Jess, and yes, it does, is the answer. So we would have seen, with the introduction of GDPR, we'd have seen that technology, just on a purely advisory side, being deployed to identify where contracts that were already in existence, whether or not they needed to be amended to bring the contracts into compliance with GDPR. And then in terms of the actual contents of documents, we, on the discovery and investigation side of our business, we would use the technology to identify personal information and to, where it's appropriate, to remove that information from human review so it doesn't need to be reviewed. So yes, it does help, and help enormously with, and particularly in a world where we're seeing a lot more, and this has increased with the pandemic, a lot more of intermingling of personal and professional communications, where people are using, they're using media that they never would have used previously for business communications. And so you do really need to tease out what's private and what is the professional communication you're after.
Yeah, one other question, and again, I think this is only in my head because I watched The Good Wife a few years ago. But in terms of the traces left by technology when it comes to a legal matter, I mean, can you use technology, like, it can technology be used in that regard as well? So if you have somebody's cookie report from their computer, for example, can that information be read and utilised? And is that beneficial? You know, the little footprints that we're leaving behind here, there and everywhere. Is all of that of benefit as well?
So absolutely, and depending on the context, we would absolutely look, as you say, you always leave a footprint when you access technology, you always leave a footprint, and sometimes that has that can prove to be of hugely valuable evidential assistance in cases where you're trying to figure out, well, who accessed that information. So for example, in a cartel or a competition case, you can see who accessed information, who they shared it with, and there's some really, really interesting AI that we have at the moment that we're using, sentiment analysis, where you can identify where people are behaving outside of their usual behavioural norms, accessing information they wouldn't normally access, emailing out of hours, sending information to domains that they wouldn't normally use. So the AI is really helping us in that area as well.
One more question for you, Paula. I mean, we've talked there about some of the areas that you're using this technology in. Where does it go from here? What new areas do you think there's scope in the legal world to broaden the use of this automation?
I think the possibilities are endless, really. I think while we've been at this for 20 years, there's still a lot of more, I think, innovation and value add that technology can bring to our industry. I think we'll see an increase in the use of AI in decision making and in predictions of outcomes. So we've seen it in the US. It's being used by law firms to determine what arguments will be particularly attractive to particular judges to help them win cases. We'll see a much greater use of the AI in that area, and also of the we've also again in the US seen where courts are using algorithms and AI to assist them in making fair and appropriate sentencing decisions. So where the AI is deployed to take the human prejudices out of the decision making. And obviously, we use what I call augmented intelligence, which is to take the output of the artificial intelligence, which is the automated output, and overlay that with human analysis and judgment. And I think we'll see much more of that combination of the automated output with the overlay going forward. And I think we'll also see a lot more joined up thinking. So the legal tech that's been in place at the moment is very compartmentalized. So you have a tool that will do one thing but not another. And I think we'll see much more end-to-end solutions being built, and there's a lot more development, I think.
Yeah, all the dots will be joined up. Okay, Barry, I'm going to come back to you then with the question that everyone wants the answer to when we talk about this topic. Are these robots going to take people's jobs?
That is a question people ask. And my view on it, Gavin, is that, you know, we are already cohabiting with robots, whether we like it or not. They're in our business. They don't walk around looking like robots, but they're in our business. And we would see kind of peaceful cohabitation with the machines, which is what we've been doing for years, and getting the best out of both. So your question is, if robots do things at an infinitely faster pace than a human mind can do it, does it mean that you have vast swathes of people who'd be redundant? And interestingly, if you look at, say, the last 5 years, our business, in terms of numbers of people, has grown by at least 30%, and yet we are embedding a lot more technology into the way we do things. And I think the answer is that technology opens up new frontiers. So it opens up new areas that didn't exist before. So for example, just give you a few examples, say driverless cars are going to open up a vast range of legal issues. Look at the health area at the moment with the vaccines and all the legal issues around that, the passports, you know, that whole technology changing the health and, you know, the patient's records, and the huge implosion in explosion of data protection. I mean, Eric Schmidt in Google said 5 years ago, he said between the dawn of civilization and 1970, if you look at the accumulated data created in that thousands of years period. We're creating more data in 2 days every day now than we did back then. And that was 5 years ago. So you can now probably think 2 hours. So there's been huge, huge explosion in data creation. Technology is opening up all sorts of things. Ireland is a real hotbed for innovation amongst tech companies. So with all these pharma and medical devices companies in Ireland, they're spawning a whole lot of people setting up their own business. They need investment. You know, we're acting for quite a few of these companies that need investment, need them to protect their software, need to protect their employees and things like that. So I think for us, what's really interesting is that technology opens up frontiers that, you know, we might have thought the world had four corners to it. But with technology, anything is possible, and our numbers actually are growing. So it does put the lie to the fact that, you know, technology makes lawyers and people redundant.
What about competition? I mean, you guys, as we've mentioned, you guys have been doing this for a long time, and you were kind of pioneers in the space here. Are people around town sort of doing the same thing now? Is competition in this regard becoming a bit more intense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we're pretending that we're on our own on this. Obviously, I'd say we can safely say we were a pioneer in this, but people have seen the benefits of it, and other firms are doing it. So our job is to continually seek out new solutions, new way of doing business. And just to add to what Paula said, you know, automated document production. So we are helping a client at the moment who creates a lot of contracts in their day-to-day work. We're giving them a self-serve technology where their people out in the field, as they conclude sales contracts, can sit in their car with an iPad and answer a whole lot of questions, yes, no, in a technology platform we've created. And by the time they get back to the office, the contract is there, printed, ready for them to sign. So I think all of that, you know, is the future, enabling clients to do a lot of it themselves so that they can get on with their business and be more efficient about how they go about solving legal issues.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that, guys. I look forward to seeing how it develops over the next few years. And Paula, just to your point about how it can actually be used to help in the court system as well as with the law firms is kind of an interesting one, because I definitely think there's scope for a lot more technology to be brought into that process. So we shall see how it all goes. That's Barry Devereaux, Managing Partner of law firm McCann Fitzgerald, and Paula Fearon, Head of Project Services at McCann Fitzgerald.